Jesus said, in this world, there will be trouble. In fact, that verse in John 16 says, I've told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, there will be trouble, but take heart, I have overcome this world. As we continue on this series in the book of Job, I really, really believe at the heart, God is trying to teach us an incredible truth about the reality of who he is and why turning to wonder towards him is of greatest importance. And we're going to try to dig into that. As I think about some of the struggles and difficulties in my own life, many of which I've shared on this stage with you all in the past, things like a couple of my children being in very critical health concerns when they were infants, things like closing a church plant that I had put 7 years of my life into, difficulties with my father and family secrets that I learned when I was a teenager, all kinds of different pain and trauma that I've had to go through the years. And I even talked recently about some of the pain that I went through when I went down to Texas for a couple of years. When I was in Texas, I really do believe that God brought me down there for a purpose. The purpose of that was to kind of help that church weather a difficult time. I ended up being the old guy on staff, and so I'd been through some of this stuff for. But I can tell you beyond a shadow of doubt, had that been my first church experience, I would have walked away from church ministry. The taste that left in my mouth was bad. But because it wasn't my first experience, and because through the years, I've had to learn what it means and it's going to take to overcome difficulties and trauma in my life, I was able to work through that time in Texas a little more smoothly. While I was in Texas, I remember a particular day when I was sitting down, probably most likely feeling a little bit sorry for myself and the fact that I wasn't enjoying my job there. I was most likely on church staffing looking for a new job, and someone came to the front door. A lady came to the front door, and while I'm, you know, licking my wounds, I let her in, and we began to talk. And what she told me over the next 2 hours was one of the saddest things I'd ever heard in my life. See, her grandson, her 5-year-old grandson, had been murdered by her son's girlfriend. That will quickly put into perspective your own pain, won't it? And the reality is everybody around us is experiencing pain at some level. Some are experiencing far greater pain than we've ever experienced, and some, it's not as bad as what we've experienced. But the bottom line is everybody is affected by the reality that in this world there will be trouble. The human condition brings about sin, and that sin leads to a lot of problems. And we typically, because of those things that we go through this world looking for answers, and oftentimes we're looking for answers in some of the wrong places, or many of the wrong places. Now, as we go through Job, we want you to know that Job is a book of wisdom that helps us grapple with the question of meaning in a world that's filled with profound suffering and loss. We know that that's just a reality of being in this world. Jesus experienced it for himself. In fact, one of his many names is he was called the Man of Sorrows. He experienced a lot of the same things that we did. In fact, he had to go to the cross on our behalf. So he experienced torture and pain that I can't even remotely imagine. But now he sits at the right hand of the Father, able to relate to us and understand the pain that we have gone through as well. Now, the big idea that I have for us this morning is this, that finding the right path amid profound suffering and loss is critical to experiencing healing and peace. Finding the right path in the midst of the struggle we're going through is critical if we're going to get to a place of healing and peace. Now, there are basically three paths you can take when it comes to pain in your life. The first is to turn toward despair, the depression and despair. Now, Before I go too far into this, I want to say something about you Midwesterners. And since I've been living here so long, I kind of feel like I'm one of you. I actually lived in Wisconsin longer than I ever lived in Oregon. So one of the things that Midwesterners are known for is being able to take their pain and file it into the back of their brains and not ever talk about it or deal with it again. Am I wrong? Right? Typically we go, you know, I put that in the past. The problem is that's never really actually true. See, pain that we tuck back in the back has a way of finding its way out. It comes out sideways in different ways that we never intended. It might come out in the way we respond and treat our families. It might come out in the way that we behave at work or we behave when somebody cuts us off on the freeway. Sometimes it comes out sideways through addiction, but it does indeed come out whether we admit it or not, whether we want to deal with it or not. One of the ways, one of the paths that that people often choose is that of despair. There's no hope. I'm just giving up on it. There's no point. And they live in that despair. 30-some years ago, I was pastoring in a church in Marshfield, Wisconsin. And while there, at the ripe age of 23 years old, I was trying to counsel this woman who had been through immense pain and hurt and loss in her life. But what I discovered along the way that took me entirely too long to figure out was that she had gotten to the point in her despair that she had fallen in love with staying in despair, and she was more comfortable there than she was with getting to a place of healing and freedom and letting go of the past. And so every time I would try to suggest a new path, she would turn back to this path of despair. The problem with the path to despair is it oftentimes becomes the very thing that we cling to more than healing and hope. Another path is, and Pastor Paul talked a lot about this last week, that we will chase after, is to look for simple answers to a great mystery. We'll want to simplify it somehow and just try to quickly dismiss it as, well, it's just happened because of this. And we move on rather than turn towards the mystery, the complexity of who God is and why these things might happen. And then the third path, and the path we would hope that you would consider taking today when dealing with trauma and hurt and pain and struggle in your life, would be a path of wonder and worship and ultimately meaning. See, the trick, right, is that oftentimes whenever we go through something difficult, something painful, ultimately what we think we want are answers. If someone could just give me the reason why this happened. How do you explain to a grandmother the reasons behind her 5-year-old being murdered? You don't. There are no good explanations for it. So when we seek after explanation, when we want an answer, it actually just leads to more hopelessness. The truth is, what we're really seeking, the real thing we need that we want, is God. The only thing that can make any sort of connection with us in the midst of those things is really God himself. And so the hope and goal as we look at the book of Job is that we would turn towards wonder and that we would understand at the heart of who we are, that's actually what we need the most. Job is an invitation to wonder. God is the mystery that's bigger than any pain, loss, or suffering that I go through. It's the actual answer to the problem. I've shared this many, many times, and I always worry a little bit it'll be taken out of context, but I often share this little story, but I really believe, you know, when somebody goes through something super tragic, You know, the tendency is to want to give the theological answer that, well, we have the human condition is caused by sin, and sin in the world has led to this bad thing happening. But we all also understand that we have a God that could intercede. So that answer always falls a little short of really, really explaining it. So you have this moment in Scripture where God is confronted with this very question through Job. And we saw in that video that every time I watch that video gives me chills. But we see in that video, in the last several chapters of Job, the real answer. He asked Job, did you hang the stars? Did you tell Orion where to be? Did you tell the lightning where to strike? God's real answer to us in the midst of pain and turmoil is, ultimately, it's my game, my ball, and my rules. Now, that may be hard to hear, but I believe that there is healing to be found when we can embrace it. When we can realize that we are not God, He is. And that while this situation and this moment in history does not make sense and is profoundly painful, that I serve a God that is above that. It's the illustration that you've probably heard 1,000 times where we are down here on the street level, fumbling around through life, running into things, crashing into each other, hurting each other. And God is sitting on the top of the building, and He has the 30,000 foot view, and He can see around the corners and knows the best path for us, even though it may not at times feel like we're on the best path, whether by our making or someone else's. It's in those moments that if we could turn to wonder, if we could turn to understanding that God is in control, the answer is God. The thing I need is God. We'll begin to find the peace that we're ultimately looking for. Job turns to some strange things. This man of God who loves God, but he's just had his whole world flipped upside down. He turns to some very strange things. He changes into sackcloth and ashes, and he complains to God. And ultimately, he laments. Now, a few months back, we went through an entire series on Lamentations. I would highly recommend coming back to that. But lament is ultimately a form of worship. It's ultimately a form of worship. When we turn our complaints, our frustrations, our just take the injustices and spew them back at God, rather than at each other, it can become an act of worship. And let me try to unpack that a little bit. Because ultimately what you're saying is that you trust God so much that He can handle this in your life. And if we don't take that pain and that hurt and aim it at the right person, which is God, then it will almost positively come out in everybody else and in our actions. It'll come out sideways in how we treat people and how we live our lives. But ultimately, we watch Job, in the midst of worst situations, turn to lament. Now, you're going to ask yourself a question as you hear this. Isn't his lament just despair? Let's look at it, and then we'll come back to that question. Job chapter 3. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. By the way, that's a little bit how I felt like at age 50. Just a little. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. And Job said, "Let the day perish on which I was born. And the night that said, 'A man is conceived,' let that day be darkness. May God above not seek it, nor light shine upon it. Let gloom and deep darkness claim it. Let clouds dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it." Look how strong this language is. At night, let thick darkness seize it. Let it not rejoice among the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here. Why did I not die at birth? Come out from the womb and expire. Skipping down to verse 16. Or why was I not as a hidden stillborn child, as infants who never see the light? There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary are at rest. Again, it's another form of saying the wicked prosper, but God, what's the deal? Then verse 20, why is light given to him who is in misery and life to the bitter in soul, who long for death, but it comes not, and dig for it more than for hidden treasure? You can feel the pain pouring out of him. And let me tell you what I believe is the difference between despair and lament. The target is the difference. See, despair tends to turn it in on ourselves, or it'll come out on others, and then we create harm. Addiction in your life harms you, harms others. Lashing out to your kids, it harms you, it harms them. Lashing out to your spouse, lashing out to your coworker, all of that stuff hurts others. But the person who can handle it, the being that can handle that pain and that frustration and that hurt coming out and crashing against them is God himself. It's like waves crashing on beautiful, huge rocks. They're unwavering, they're unmoving. When lament becomes worship is when we understand that he who we're bringing this to loves us enough and has big enough shoulders that he can handle our pain and our hurt and our tragedy, that he knows that it has to come out or it won't be healthy. If that stuff stays inside us, it eats away at us like a cancer. It becomes a spiritual cancer to us. And it makes it nearly impossible for this relationship to be healthy, let alone these relationships to be healthy. The reason we offer emotionally healthy spirituality and emotionally healthy relationships at this church is to try to get to the bottom of those things. I don't know how many times I've had some of you come up to me during that class and go, why do you keep poking the bear? Why can't I leave this stuff in the past? Why are you asking me to bring it out right now? And I'm going to tell you simply, A, you signed up for the class. I didn't sign you up. Do you understand that? I feel like I've been pretty clear from up here what this class is and isn't. So you sign up for it. Brace yourself. It gets difficult. We've kind of started changing our tune a little bit on week three. We kind of call them out and say, listen, a lot of people quit. Don't be a wimp. Stay with it, right? And it gets tough when you're asked to look back. But if you don't look back, you're not going to move forward. That stuff that we think we're hiding or that we're keeping in the closet or we don't want to think about it, talk about, it's coming out one way or another. Do you want it to come out in a healthy way that leads to forgiveness and peace? Or do you want it to come out sideways and hurt those that you love the most? It will bleed out one way or another. Recently, my loving wife pulled me aside and asked me a question. She goes, you love your job, right? Absolutely. This is the best church I've ever worked at. Hands down, nothing else is even close. I haven't touched church staffing at all since I came to work here. It's been awesome. She goes, well, lately you've seemed more stressed. Maybe a little bit. She goes, are you having fun? It's like, what's that have to do with it? I mean, normally you like to have fun. Are you having fun? And I said, you know, there's been a couple of hard things recently. So yeah, recently it hasn't been as fun as it normally is. She goes, yeah, I can tell because it's coming out at us. Mm. 30 years of marriage have taught me one very, very important thing in that moment. There is one and only one answer in that moment. It is to turn to my spouse and say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. And we're going to practice that a little bit. Men, try this. I know this is difficult for you, but I want you to try this. Honey, I was wrong, and I'm sorry. One more time, like you actually mean it. Honey, are there men in this room? Because I don't hear any right now. Honey, honey, I was wrong, and I am sorry. Great. Now, women, you're not off the hook. It's your turn. Turn to your spouse and say, I was wrong. My ladies, I was wrong, and I'm sorry. Now, here's the truth. There's nobody that our junk bleeds on more than our spouses and our children. That's the truth. So when we don't deal with pain and hurt and struggle and past trauma in our life in a healthy, balanced way, then it will indeed come out in painful ways to those around us. I cannot even fathom all of the scars that I've left on my wife and kids with undealt with emotional baggage in my own life, pain and hurt from the past. I believe I'm getting better because I'm learning things like the power that of lament, of letting it out, of getting it out. I've learned the power of going to see a counselor. Hey, guess what? You can seek a counselor before things get really bad, right? Whether it's your marriage or your interpersonal relationships with other people, you can seek counseling beforehand. It's surprising to me how many times I recommend counseling to people and they look at me like I've just told them that, you know, to go rob a bank. Like it's some horrible thing. Like, listen, if your car, the engine was knocking, you wouldn't go, I don't need to go to the mechanic. I'll just turn the radio up, right? That doesn't make sense, does it? Now, when I was in my 20s, that's how I dealt with mechanical issues. I turned up the radio and pretended it wasn't there until the engine did what? It seized up. What do you think is going to happen in here if we don't deal with this stuff? Eventually, this too will seize up. I know it's hard to face difficulties in life. And one of the most powerful things that you can do to overcome pain and hurt in your life is learn lament as worship. So many of the Psalms are really laments. Think about some of David's. How long, God, will I suffer? Why do the wicked prosper? All that kind of language is throughout Scripture because they understood and knew that God was a safe place to take those painful feelings and hurts to, and that he would ultimately bring healing from that. See, again, the difference between despair and lament is that you're getting it out in a healthy way. You're aiming it at the person that can handle it. Now, little spoiler for sermons coming in the future. When you do take it to the Lord, be prepared for his answer. His answer is kind of fun. But it's pointed. And I think there's been no more valuable lesson that I've learned in my life that's helped me overcome trauma and pain from my past than understanding that there is a mystery about God. That I don't understand his ways. He has shown me things too wonderful for me to understand. And there is something about that that in my 50s brings me peace. I can't firmly wrap God up. In my 20s and 30s, I wanted so badly to theologically have God in a nice little box that I could understand and pull out when it was needed. But that's not who he is. Understanding God is too marvelous. And we will spend an eternity trying to get to know him. That's what our God should be. If I can easily understand him, then he's probably not God. The mystery itself, the act of seeking after God, chasing after him, expressing my feelings, good, bad, and indifferent towards the Lord so he knows who I am and I begin to know a little of who he is the healing process. The reason we suggest things like our classes and we talk a lot about spiritual disciplines is so that we will indeed take these things, these broken relationships, these hurt feelings, these past sin, and that we'll bring them to the Lord and let those things crash against the rock that is the Lord so that we can be changed. When we bring that stuff to the surface, when we bring it out, when we take it to the Lord, that's when the healing can begin to happen. Years ago, I was trying to work through with a counselor some of my feelings about my father. There was a lot of pain there and frustration. And I remember he had me write my dad a letter. He said, I want you to say whatever you're feeling in that. At that point in my life, I'd been a pastor for about 10 years. And I put in some language that a pastor shouldn't use into that thing. And I sealed it up and put a stamp on it, put my dad's address on it, but he told me not to send it. He said, bring it in next time you come. So I brought it in. And then he made me open it, and then he took the envelope so I wouldn't send it. And then he told me to go find a place that was special, something that that my dad and I would have done together, and we hunted and fished a lot. So I went out into the woods. He goes, find a tree, pretend it's your dad, and read that letter to him. Basically, what he was doing is he's giving me an instrument of lament. He was having me take my pain to the one place that it would actually matter, which was to God, to get it out of me and let God begin to deal with it. Then over the next several counseling sessions, he started to rebuild my memories of my father, help me to replace the bad ones with good ones. That doesn't mean that bad stuff isn't still there and doesn't still rear its head from time to time, but now I have better tools to deal with it when it comes. And I live in far more peace now than I did in my 20s and 30s about it, because I've allowed myself to lament. I've allowed myself to feel these things, to bring them to God, to ask questions about why. Why did this happen? Why would you let this happen, Lord? And let him answer. And let there be a deepening relationship. Because I believe this at the core of who I am, when we lean into God, whether it's with frustration or pain or hurt, he shows up. He meets us there. He meets us in that darkness and he brings light. The very meaning of life is found in him, not in the answers of questions that can't be answered. And I believe that's what God wants to accomplish in and through us. I love this quote from Timothy Keller. He says, the book of Job not only teaches that God may have a morally sufficient reason for allowing suffering, which we cannot comprehend, but also that part of the solution to suffering is the presence of God himself. In the end, the answer to suffering is not an explanation, it's the incarnation. The incarnation of Christ in us, through us, living this life for us. He took on our pain. He took on our sorrow so that someday, like it says in Revelation 21, every tear will be wiped away, meaning that this human problem of suffering and pain will cease to exist, and we will spend an eternity with God, making the difficulties of this sliver of my life seem very, very small in the vastness of eternity. Now, I realize that the answer, it's just a tiny part of your life in the big picture of eternity, is not a fun one to say. But there's a truth to it. There's a truth that no matter what I'm facing now, as hard as it is, that in the scope of eternity, that if I lean into the Lord, spend my life and my eternity chasing after who he is, I will find hope. I will find peace. I'll find meaning. The only next step we're going to give you today is this one. It's to, if you haven't already, pick up the devotional series. There's a paper version of it out of where you need to go on Right Now Media out in the foyer, or you can go online to pick it up. But I want to encourage you to turn to the Lord in this time, to not ignore the things that you feel. Maybe this morning, very real trauma is knocking at the back of the door going, yeah, you haven't dealt with me. And I want to encourage you to lean into that. Feel what you need to feel. Get the help that you need to get. Maybe start to experience lament for yourself. When someone finally gave me permission to be mad at God, it was one of the most freeing things I ever experienced in my life. I shared that story a few months back, but essentially when the church plant closed, I was ticked at God, but I was taking it out on everybody else. When someone finally gave me permission to say, it's okay to be mad at God, then I turned that frustration at him. And what happened was my frustration smashed up against the rock that is God, and I began to understand a little bit more about what it means to worship and what it means to have to face the realities of my own stuff in the light of who God is in my life. And I began to see my heart and attitude change about those things as I began to understand forgiveness and letting go. And that's what I want for each of us. I want us to be able to let go so that we can be at peace, so that we can show other people the power of what it means to walk with the Lord. I'm going to close this, or I'm not going to close this, the worship team's going to come out now, but I want to go ahead and pray as we move into this last worship song. Father, I recognize that there's, represented in this room, there is probably an enormous amount of pain and hurt that's happened. I recognize that in this room represents a lot of different trauma, things that have been done, hurts that have been inflicted upon, even hurts that we've inflicted upon ourselves. And so, Lord, as we wrestle with those things, as we go through the pain of that, Lord, let us fight against the temptation to try to forget it, to push it off, to give simple answers to complex things, but to actually move forward in wonder and lament and seek you and talk to you and let you know how we're feeling no matter what that might be, Lord. Allow us to do that so that we might have healing and that our relationship with you might grow and that ultimately we can be at peace because we know you overcome the world. In Jesus' name, amen.